The law of country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Thursday, December 8th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the WOG global sit rep for core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. RAND Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening to this album, you are too. Well, listening to this album, listening to this. You know, it's funny because I was just looking at the soundtrack for today's show, which is the Punisher album. So I got the word album stuck in my mind. RAND Media is taking a stand for free speech today. Just by listening to this program, you are too. And you can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. And holy crap, do I ever have a lot of them today. But you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be brought to you by, well, that is brought to you by, well, you can be listening to it on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. Free as in beer, free as in borscht, free as in turnips, free as in air, free as the grass grows. You can do whatever you like with it. Please be sure that you give it out to people so that we can spread the word and let people know that, yes, there is, in fact, some craziness still existing in the world, which is, in fact, a news show where, you know, people are not afraid to say what they think, even though, you know, we don't make a lot of money for it. Into the news! Straight off the top, no feedback, nobody loves me, everybody thinks I'm an idiot. Well, nothing new there. Done that for most of my life, really don't care either way. Into the news. In Christmas destruction news. Now, you know, everyone knows that I refer to the church and all that kind of stuff, organized religion, as the Mud Hut Group, you know? Simply because there's nobody really attacking religious groups openly. The atheists just kind of sit back, and they've got their own religion, which is atheism. There's nothing! Nothing! Oh, God! We believe in nothing. We are atheists. We don't do anything. We simply lie on our backs in our pools and drink our beer and make fun of everyone else and fuck up our German accents. This is, you know, atheism in a nutshell. There's nothing! We hate everyone. We're like the world's chronic complainers. It's true. But, you know, it's these atheist groups that are like, no, we hate the fucking religions. We hate all these, you know. Oh, God, we don't want any religious holidays. We just work all year long. Fuck holidays. You know, that's a bit extreme. I don't know if I agree with all that. But, you know, I don't think we need less religious holidays. Although I do say that, you know, I don't agree with organized religion. I'd like to see more religious holidays. Hell, I'd like to see holidays for any fucking reason. You know, I mean, I think people work too damn hard. It's true. People do work too damn hard. Well, actually, that's not true. The people who do work have to make up for all the people who don't work, who are just like welfare parents who sit back and crank out the kids. So the people who work, those of us who actually work, work really fucking hard. Like, they work way, way, way too hard. And those people who don't work need to get a fucking job and stop being a bum and actually go out and do some good for the world. You know, and that way maybe not everyone would have to work so incredibly hard and we could afford to have more holidays as a culture. But anyway, it seems that religious groups have launched an attack on Christmas. Now, this is really funny, because could you imagine religious groups, you know, launching an attack on, say, Hanukkah? No, it would never happen, because they'd be labeled as anti-Semitic. The instant, you know, we'll ward you back with a sign of the, you know, the swastika. We'll brand you with the swastika if you even attack Judaism in any way, shape, or form. Which is true. People attack. When was the last time you heard somebody attack anything Jewish ever, anywhere on the planet? Other than the Palestinians throwing rocks at them. Which is fucking stupid. Not that I have any problem with the Jews. But let's call a spade here, okay? These guys are attacking Christmas, but nobody attacks Hanukkah. Nobody attacks any other fucking religious holiday. It's always the Christian holidays that get attacked. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't be attacking Christian holidays. I mean, if you're going to attack holidays, well, fuck yeah. Give her shit. But, you know, be blanket. Get them all. Why should you give people time off to go on their very own Haji, so they, or Hajj, or whatever the hell they call it, whenever they, you know, do all the headbangers go out and, you know, rock on to Mecca there? I mean, I'm just wondering, well, why should we do anything? Why have any religious holiday at all? I mean, there's nothing wrong with holidays. Christmas is fucking Christmas. Okay, don't piss on my back and tell me it's raining. Call it holidays. Okay, I don't really care either way. I like Christmas. I think it's a nice little ritual. Everything's nice. You know, you get the tree and the presents and everything, you know. Provided, you know, it doesn't turn into this massive consumer whore fest. Make your own presents. Maybe, you know, buy old media. That's a good idea. But go to a used record store. Maybe make something for friends. Hey, that'd be cool. Draw them a picture or some shit. You know, just something that shows your friends that you give a fuck. You know, beyond their birthdays. Which, you know, I think birthdays are a big deal, too. But anyway, religious groups have launched an attack on Christmas, calling it to be renamed and toned down. This is in Australia. A leading Islamic body. Wow. So our religion doesn't like your religion. This is a religious attack. Says that the term Christmas is politically incorrect. No, what he means to say that the term Christmas is not Muslim, because it excludes too many people in multicultural Australia. Oh, well, shitty. You know, I'm not really a big fan of multiculturalism. I don't really think it works. I think that culture generally is pretty fucking stupid. And not just one specific culture. I think all cultures are pretty much retarded. Most cultures should be divided, or should be decided by math, which is kind of funny. I mean, I suppose that's a mathematics culture. But you should take the good parts of every culture, mix them together, and come up with, you know, the best parts of all culture. You know, like a lot of Indian culture have a really strong family thing going on there. You know, they got a lot of different positives. I'm not too familiar with Indian culture, but I'm sure there's lots there, and I'm not trying to be facetious here. I'm honest to God. I don't know a lot about it. So, but I mean, you know, a lot of the people I see or meet or read about in India, they generally got a lot more, they kind of get a little bit more dialed in as to what life's all about. You know, they're not so stressed out. You know, people in India, they're a lot more laid back, maybe because they don't have anything. But, you know, that's a big part of it. Now, this thing with multiculturalism, I don't know, man. Why should everyone be a distinctive culture? Because when you start having people becoming distinctive cultures in a close proximity, you wind up with what you got in Yugoslavia, where you get balkanized. Everyone's like, oh, we're this culture. We're that culture. We're our own culture, totally separate from you. And we don't like you because you're not like us. So this is, you know, another reason to divide people. Fuck that. Melt everything down. Take all their holidays, because they're all cool, because everybody likes holidays. Slap them together. And, you know, we'll come up with the holiday-rich environment. Like, zap them. You know, Uncle Dax religion. Zen agnostic pagan militus. Zen, because he believes in nothing. Agnostic, because, well, you know, well, Zen's pretty calm. Agnostic, because he believes in God, but not the church. Pagan, because they got more religious holidays than anybody, and that's a hot thing. And militants, because he likes getting stuff done. That's his own little thing he cooked up. I think that's great. But why stop there? You know, I mean, other than the fact that if you were, you know, a Christian Islamic Jew, you would have, like, a whole collection of hats. You'd be banging your face on the ground, and you probably wouldn't be able to get any work done from all the holidays you'd have to take. And God knows, you'd be walking around dressed like an Amish. You'd look like a Bedouin. You'd have the Amish, you know, Jewish Hasidic Jew coat on with the big, you know, turban and everything. It'd be crazy. Well, actually, I don't think Muslims wear turbans. What about the Sikhs? What about those guys? They get their religious holidays, too. Nobody attacks them. Anyway, the Forum on Australia's Islamic Relations wants a community debate to find the alternative. Why a community debate? What the fuck? What is this, tyranny by the group? Suggesting the word festive as a possible replacement. A Queensland Jewish leader has called for an end to the automatic imposition of Christmas on the community, saying that the season is reduced to a shopping festival. True! True, it is a shopping festival. He's absolutely correct, I think, but that's not Christmas's fault. The attacks have outraged Christian churches, family groups, and civic leaders. Even other Muslims groups have slammed the call. The other Muslims, I'm sure, are like, why don't you shut the fuck up? I mean, it must be bad. It must be pretty hard for all the nice Muslims out there. And there's a bunch of them. You know, there's a bunch, like a vast majority, I would even say, are probably pretty nice people. I'm going to go with the benefit of the doubt and say the vast majority of Muslims are nice people. Maybe they don't follow everything the Quran says. Now, for the people who are really nice Muslims, it must be difficult because, you know, you got all these shithead Muslims blowing themselves up. And they're like, God damn it! We're trying to build a life for ourselves over here and you motherfuckers keep screwing it up! Shit! Islamic Council of Queensland President Abu Jalal said Muslims have no right to question what Christians call their religious festival. Peter Premier Peter Beattie said Christmas was an important celebration and should stay put. Attaboy. He said Christians should be able to celebrate the festivities as Christmas. Brisbane Anglican Archbishop Philip Aspinall said Christmas should continue to be celebrated as a very important date in the Christian calendar. Well, you know, what about Ramadan and all that shit? You know, you'd never go to one of these, like, dominant Muslim countries or whatever and have, guys freak out about Ramadan. I'd be showing my interest here, because I'm not even sure Ramadan's part of Christmas, part of Muslim faith, but here's hoping. But you see what I'm saying here, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of religious festivals that we never dream of going into, you know, these other countries and saying that they can't do their fucking shit. I mean, Christmas has been part of westernized culture pretty much since the beginning. I mean, come on. Now, on the same hand, people would say, Sean, you said traditions were bad. You said traditions were all bullshit and they should be abandoned. Not exactly. I think traditions should be abandoned if they are bullshit. Not all traditions are bullshit. Not like carte blanche, not like that. There's a lot of traditions that are bullshit. And, you know, I don't think that we should just abandon everything. I just think we should get the best. He goes on to say here, the Family Council of Queensland President Alan Barker described the plans as impertinent and intolerant. He said no one suggested that other religions change the name of their celebrations, such as Ramadan for Muslims. Oh, sweet. So there is actually Ramadan is a Muslim thing. Ha, I knew that. Or Hanukkah for the Jews. Well, no one's ever going to actually change Hanukkah, because if they did again, they get branded with the swastika. Everyone's scared shitless of being called racist. Even me. I'm terrified of being called racist. You know, you get these guys that be like, you're a racist fuck, Sean. No, I'm not. And the funny thing is I get called a racist all the time in my work, you know. I'll have people from different cultures who will wander up to the bar where I happen to work, and they'll be snapped out of their mind. They'll have no shoes on. They're holding a broken bottle. They'll be swaggering back and forth with blood coming out of their nose. And they're like, we're getting into the bar. And I say, no, you're not. And they say, it's because I'm brown, isn't it? No, actually, it's because you got no shoes on, you got a broken bottle, you're bleeding, and you're so hammered you can't stand straight. You're a racist fuck! Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. I'm a racist fuck. You know, and it bugs me. It bugs me because, you know, everyone in westernized culture is absolutely fucking terrified now because we're convinced that if we do not, like, we'll give everybody on the planet the benefit of the doubt. We'll give everybody the benefit of the doubt unless it's somebody being called a racist. If they're a racist, oh, fuck, we must destroy them utterly, you know? How did that happen? Now, racism is a horrible fucking thing. But let's look at it for what it is. I mean, you can't call people in North America racist unless they actually are going to fucking Klan meetings and shit like that. I mean, you go to Yugoslavia and look at ethnic cleansing. Go to Africa and look at the ethnic cleansing down there. That's racism, okay? That is the level of hatred that is out there. If you don't happen to like someone because of their skin color, yes, that is racism. That's a thought crime. You know, somebody says, I don't like that person. You could just as well not like the person because he wears glasses. You could not like the person because you don't like the brand name of clothing they're wearing. You don't like them because they're fat. But somehow that's accepted. Very weird. I'm not saying that racism should be allowed, but I'm saying we should look at how we decide what we like and what we dislike in culture and how much of that is manipulated pro or against by the media around us. This is really sensitive shit. Nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about black versus white. I know very few black people because I live in Canada. And, well, there's not a lot of black people where I live. Nothing bad. It's just, you know, not a lot of black people around here. I've never understood the racism thing. First time I got called a racist, I was like, what? How the hell? What are you talking about? You don't like me because I'm brown. Just admit it. No, dude. I don't like you because you threatened to kill me 10 seconds ago. That's why I don't like you, you fucking moron. You know, and stupidity is cross-racial. You know, I'll find that the one thing you can bank on around the world is people are fucking stupid. Like, dumb, dumb, dumb motherfuckers all around the world. I don't know where that is. I know I'm on a tirade here. This all started with Muslims and Christmas. But, well, actually, it started, well, Muslim attack on Christmas. Well, no, that's not even true. It's this one Islamic nutbag attacking Christmas in Australia. All I'm saying here is, before people start crying religious persecution and racism, you know, we should really just check that shit, because people are way too quick to play that card in the world. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. Now, speaking of, discrimination, let's look at some gay news. Ford Motor Company's Jaguar and Land Rover luxury brands are pulling all advertising from gay publications, the company said today. Now, this is weird, the fact that they have gay publications. I don't understand that. This is yet another dividing thing. The company said today after facing a boycott threat from conservative religious groups. Another money grab. I think that all this gay culture and religious culture, all these little sects that are created are nothing more than vehicles for making money. But anyway, the American Family Association, wow, who wouldn't want to join that, eh? Had called for a boycott of the carmaker's vehicles in May, but suspended the move in June for 6 months after talks with Ford dealers. Ford, good God, you know the guy who used to fund the Nazi party? Henry Ford? Good God, is it Henry Ford or Gerald Ford? Anyway, but the Ford guy, the guy who was the founder of the whole Ford company thing, yeah, that guy. Well, he apparently, Hitler had his painting in his office because the guy funded the entire Nazi party, but nobody talks about that. The 6 months have now ended. We still have a few differences with Ford. We feel that our concerns are being addressed in good faith and will continue to be addressed in the future. Donald Wilson, chairman of the Tupelo, Mississippi-based group, said in a statement. Ford, which has seen its U.S. sales fall in all but two of the last 18 months, denied the decision was made under pressure from the American Family Association, which has criticized Ford for being too gay-friendly. Jesus. Gay-friendly. You know, so if Ford had, like, the anti, gay people, like, saying that we should burn them and stuff, that'd be cool, I guess. Ford spokesman Mike Moran said the company's cancellation of the ads is part of a plan to streamline the brand's marketing strategy. Oh, we're streamlining the marketing strategy. Well, that sounds good. We got some marketing strategy there. Throw streamline in there. You know, that's a good buzzword. He said Ford's Volvo brand, good God, Volvo's owned by Ford, will continue to buy ads in gay-oriented publications. A group of 19 organizations that support homosexual rights said they were deeply dismayed, good alliteration, by Ford's action and expected the carmaker to meet with representatives from gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community this week. Wow, look at all these groups. We got gays. We got lesbian groups, because they're not gay. Oh, wait, they are. You have bisexual, which is different from being gay and lesbian, and transgender community. Holy shit, we got four different groups there. That's four different money streams for you to identify with. We expect Ford to publicly reaffirm its historic support for our community, the group says in a joint statement on the webpage. No, Ford has not had historic support for your community. Ford was anti-Jewish and supported the Nazis. Hello? The group said in a joint statement on the webpage in the Human Rights Campaign, the largest U.S. gay, bisexual, and lesbian transgender human rights or civil rights organization, the Human Rights Campaign. I see. Very good. This is fucking retarded, okay? Where the hell is, like, what, should we have a straight one too? Should we have the straight coalition, for the heterosexual people in the world to make sure that our rights aren't violated? Come on! This is fucking retarded. Who cares what you fuck? Nobody, okay? Only people who busy themselves with wondering what the neighbors are doing. You know, the nosy little people with the glasses and the Bibles, okay? Just, or whatever religious book of choice. The crafty mudhut crowd, okay, who are afraid for their children. Think of the children! I was partying with a gay guy one time. He said, would you answer me something? We were both drunk. And he says, would you answer me something? I said, sure, go ahead. He says, you're straight, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking straight. And he goes, okay. Which was unfortunate, because at the time, if I wasn't straight, I probably would have gotten laid. But anyway, he says, you're straight, right? And I said, yeah, as an arrow. And he goes, well, why is it that all these fat rednecks think that we gay guys want to fuck them? Would you want to fuck a fat redneck? I don't want to fuck a fat redneck. I'd rather fuck an underwear model. Which is true. I mean, when you think about it, it's like all this weird, bizarre amounts of fear and paranoia and threatening of manhood and all that kind of stuff. Now, personally, me, I'm straight, so I don't understand the whole gay thing that much. I can't even fathom it. I can't, being a pillow biter, chugging cock, all that good stuff, couldn't do it. Could not do it. It's your own go. People are way too sensitive about it. You know, you call them a fag and they freak out. Oh, shit. Call each other fags, it's not a big deal. But if you call me a fag, I'll fucking kill you. This is insanity. It's totally fucking nuts. So, you know, I think a lot of this are people within the communities, within these gay and lesbian, transgender communities, who are trying to create revenue streams for themselves. Rather than getting a job, they're just going to be all about being gay. And then it spawns industry. You got gay bookstores and gay meeting groups. And, you know, it's same with the other organizations. Same with, you know, all these. I mean, if I wanted to make money, you know, just like L. Ron Hubbard did, I'm going to create a religion. Well, create any kind of social group. I'll take the WOG thing. I could take the WOG thing and make huge money with it if I wanted to. You go to Frapper right now. What do we got? We got like 200 and some odd people on there. 267 people. It's a numbers game. It's a fucking numbers game. You add numbers in time, you will make money, no matter what kind of group you make. That's why you got, you know, the Society for Creative Anachronism. All these different groups. People want to belong. It's just the way it is. And I'm not saying that people's rights aren't important. Of course they're important, but don't be stupid. But they're not important because you're gay. They're not important because you're a lesbian. It's not important because you don't know what sex you are. It's important because you're alive and because you're human. That's what makes it important. And in order for that to be that way, you need to have the big dog able to protect your rights. And that means, generally, at the end of the day, a man with a gun. But anyhow, I digress. Kind of angry today. In dress and deportment news. Now, here is an interesting story. Now, we've all heard of how, you know, people aren't allowed to wear piercings at Starbucks, things like that. You know, you see them with the band-aids over their eyebrow rings and shit like that, right? Even in the armed forces in Canada, which is fucking sad, I might add, I've seen old weathered soldiers with those, you know, those shitty hula tattoos that these guys got. You know, everybody's seen them. You know, the old guy with the hula girl tattoo with the little boobs sticking out and they look like ass. You know, because they're all like blue now because the ink's all faded and shit. Yeah, they make the order in the Canadian Forces is they make these guys actually put band-aids over the exposed breasts of these tattoos so that they're covered up. Can you believe that? Of these guys who've gone to war and fought for the freedoms, they have to cover up the breasts of the tattooed lady on his arm. I've seen this with my own eyes on parade. It's fucking disturbing and disgusting. And, you know, I guess on one level you think of that, go, well, I guess that's what is that? Well, that's the face of political correctness right there. That's pandering to those who were easily offended. We did not mean to give offense. You took offense. As far as I'm concerned, that's fucking theft. And taking that one step further, you get with this kind of total insanity in dress and deportment news. Plain bras, non-shiny stockings, and sensible shoes. No, it's not a girl's school dress code. It's a Commonwealth bank. Staff are being urged to wear discreet underwear. Discreet underwear. How the fuck would they know? Trim their nose, hair, and ears. Okay, well, that's I can understand that. And buy Italian-made stockings to make their legs look thinner. Okay, what? The grooming guidelines are part of a new handbook, which also advises washing and conditioning hair every 3 days. Well, if you're not bathing every 3 days, you got a problem. Getting a haircut every 6 weeks, and then using a shine product to add luster to graying locks. The handbook comes with diagrams of how to apply makeup, pluck and wax unruly eyebrows, and tie a necktie. It urges workers not to skimp on shoe quality and to alternate daily between two pairs in order to combat foot odor. But the guide has been attacked as infantile and costly. Finance Sector Union Victorian Secretary Darren Martin estimated the following the guidelines would cost workers $50 a week. Your average bank teller is earning around mid-$30,000s, but there's a lot of part-time workers on a lot less. It would be quite an financial impingement on them, with the bank saying they should have eau de colognes and better quality underwear. The handbook's advice also recommends buying top-quality stockings, such as Italian-made Levent or Reid, saying that they are cheaper in the long term and save the frustrations of ladders and snags. Avoiding stockings with shiny finishes that make your legs look larger. Updating your glasses at least once a year to keep up with fashion. Jesus Christ. Using eau de cologne instead of aftershave to avoid rashes. coloring your hair every 5 weeks so that the roots don't show. French polishing your fingernails. Wow, I'd look fabulous if I did all this. Using neutral or warm tone foundation for a more youthful look. Throwing away small brushes that come with blush and eyeshadow because large brushes are better. Avoiding bright garish lipstick colors and frosted lipstick. Mr. Martin said the union feared sticking to the guidelines could be part of a worker's performance review, which clearly it would be. Now, this, to me, is nothing more like, you want to talk about being a corporate whore. That is about as corporately whorish as you can possibly get right there. So what's the solution? Why do they do that? They do that because of image, because they don't want to offend people. And, of course, the reason for this is because people think it's okay and easy to be offended. I'm offended! Holy fuck, I'm offended. I'm so offended. Well, who cares? Who cares if you're offended? Nobody should give a shit if anybody is offended. If it doesn't hurt you, fuck off. Well, I feel persecuted. Ah, sorry about your luck. Sorry about how you feel. I can't affect how you fucking feel. I'm not attacking you. Get the fuck away from me. Don't come up to me and say that my sign has offended you. Don't come up to me. I mean, that's what having a free society is all about. It's ridiculous. But, you know, I guess that's the sign of our times. What do we do about it? What are we going to do about it? Stock solutions. Well, if you stand up in your place of work and say, no, I'm not going to do this anymore, I guarantee you will be dismissed. So what's the leverage? What is the leverage? Oh, I guess the only way that I can see to do that would be to infiltrate and change from within. Sick and weird, but there it is. In brain fuck news, this is sad. Ad forecasters at Zenith Optimedia said on Monday that spending on in-theater ads, these are those big fucking ads they put before the movies that you can't escape, usually shown before the trailers, rose by 18% this year to $400 million and will likely go up by about 15% each year through 2008. That's each year through 2008. So for the next 3 years, we're looking for a 45% increase in ads. Driving growth is digital projection that makes it easy to change ads or target ads to different audiences, said Tim Jones, CEO of Zenith Optimedia's U.S. operations. That's directly attributable to the medium being more digital. It gives advertisers more options to affordability from a production standpoint. The forecast was good news for theater owners depressed by the 6% slide in box office receipts this year. To attract more ads, they've spent $150 million in the last 3 years to install relatively simple digital projectors just for ads. That's ahead of the much larger investment just beginning for full digital conversion to movie-quality projectors. Regal Entertainment, RGC, has led the charge instilling digital ad gear in about 5,000 of more of its more than 6,500 screens in 2002-2003. The ad effort picked up steam in July when AMC Theaters, the number two chain, about to merge with Cineplex, joins Regal to form ad sales company National CineMedia. Cinemark, the number three chain, joins next month. By the second quarter of 2006, we will have 10,000 digital ad screens, about 28% of the national total, said Cliff Marks, National Media Chief Marketing Officer. Typical 20-minute ad packages so far look a lot like TV. Before the trailers, Regal runs a show of ads interspersed with snippets of content about the movie called The 20. In January, it will be renamed First Look to all National CineMedia theaters. The digital transition is attracting more big advertisers. National companies buy 75% of theater ads, Mark said. For example, Walmart just made its first theater ad buy for 10,000 Regal and AMC screens. Now, this is absolutely ridiculous. All they're doing is shooting themselves in the foot. They're going to have massive ad screens in theaters with nobody going. Television's home theater is getting larger and larger and cheaper and cheaper. Everyone's going for the home theaters. Why? Because you got some asshole or stone kid in front of you making a fucking hassle. So now what are we going to do to really just reinforce that? Are we going to make the theater experience better than being at home? Fuck no. We're going to add more commercials. Way to shoot yourselves in the foot. Now in canine news, have you lost a dog? As of next March, pet owners will be able to drop the photocopier and staple gun and pick up the phone instead. That's when PetCell I'm not making this up. The first cell phone for dogs is due to hit pet store shelves. Hung off of Fido's collar, this pet cell is a bone-shaped cell phone that will let dog owners talk to their best friends over a two-way speaker. Developed by Pets Mobility, the pet cells work with standard cellular networks and has its own number. It automatically answers when the owner punches in a code in the telephone keypad that means, Lassie, come home. Of course, you could always just buy these, set them up, and use them as remote monitoring and bugging devices. The pet cell will ship early in 2006 and will sell for $350 to $400. President Cameron Robb said he got the idea for a phone while sharing a hotel room with a college at a convention. Sharing a hotel room with a colleague at a convention. So he was snapped, and they were talking about it. I overheard him talking to his dogs. I was mimicking and making fun of it, but the reality was his wife was holding the phone down to the dog. To be fair, I've done this to my own dog. But I'm embarrassed by this. There, I've come out of the closet and said that I've talked to my dog over the phone. But in reality, it's fucking stupid. The ability to track a lost pet has most dog lovers excited. The pet cell has a call owner button in case Rover strays. Unfortunately, the people who usually take your pets aren't interested in contacting the owner. It also includes assisted GPS, a GPS, which works indoors, allowing dog owners to map their pup's coordinates from any web-enabled device or by dialing a voice-enabled call center. Aha! So, I wonder if you could take this, if it would be cheaper to use this or a service like Digital Angel or something like that, so you could just come up with a more affordable means rather than using this on your dog. You could use it for, just about anything. When a dog disappears, the first 15 minutes are the most important. What? Where the hell are you getting that stat from? That's true for missing children, not dogs. Said San Francisco dog trainer Youngblood Harris. I'm sure that's his real name. If your dog runs out of the park and you don't see where he left or if he went left or right, PetCell would make life a lot easier. Well, unless, of course, you just train your fucking dog and your dog stays with you. PetCell will also have an option called GeoFence that will alert owners whenever their dog wanders beyond present parameters. The built-in temperature sensor is to indicate if the dog is too hot or too cold. Shit! Fuck the dog, I'm putting this on the kids! There you go, Fowler, one of these bad boys! Additionally, the pet cell will support a small wireless camera! An application Rob believes could be useful in search and rescue or bomb squad missions. Patrons of doggy daycare, it may become the equivalent to a nanny cam. Yes, if you beat my dog, I will kill you. Interesting. I'm sure this technology could probably be used for something a little bit better than your dog. Maybe, though, we'll keep the costs nice and low. Speaking of low costs, let's look at some alternative fuel news. Danish scientists have developed a way to store hydrogen in a cheaper and safer manner. Small tablets. Interesting. That's from the article. As someone who's not admittedly a chemist, I have to admit, I'm confused by what to think about hydrogen. Mixed with oxygen, it is very good. As a bomb, it is very bad. When it comes to powering the next big thing, that is, if they can make it work and make it safe. Danish scientists have just got me that much closer to cruising around in a hydrogen car or even having hydrogen-powered electronics in a home. The list is infinite. The problem is up to now, apparently, has been that a big tank full of hydrogen is quite a bit like a bomb that we were talking about. The aforementioned scientists have come up with a way to store hydrogen that is both cheap and safe. The technology is a step towards making a society independent of fossil fuels, says Professor Jens Norskov, director of the Nanotechnology Center at DTU. He and Klaus Hudvan Christensen, Tu Johansen, Ulrich Krack, and Ramis Zuk-Sorensen, the five researchers behind the invention. The advantages of using hydrogen are numerous. It's CO2-free and can be produced by renewable energy sources, i.e. wind power. We have a new solution to one major market obstacles to the use of hydrogen as fuel. We need new energy technologies. Oil and gas will not last. Without the energy, there is no modern society, says Jens Norsegaard. You like that accent? That was good, eh? The tablet is made from ammonia, which is absorbed by sea salt. Ammonia is made from hydrogen and nitrogen. That means that the tablet contains a whole bunch of hydrogen. When the time is right, a chemical catalyst unleashes the hydrogen, and my car of the future is safely headed down the highway. How do you like the sounds of that, you oil-hoarding bastards? Very interesting stuff. It'll be neat to see this actually come all the way through. It'll be neat to see where this fully develops, you know. It'll be nice to see. And being a pill, that makes it smaller. So you could probably wind up with something that looks like, if it's just a pill or a tablet, you can make it, say, the size of a AA battery or something. And you could probably produce a lot of hydrogen from that. And in black ice news, looks like we got something coming down the pipe here. The next planned widespread of 2005's most prolific e-worm, Sober, is scheduled to start on January 5th, 2006, based on commands hard-coded within the worm. The attack date coincides with the 87th anniversary of the Nazi Party. Why are these guys showing up again? The discovery emphasizes the ever-present and often underestimated threat of hacktivism, combining malicious code with political causes. Hacktivism. Malicious code with political causes. You know, hacktivism, that's not hacking, but it's interesting. That's actually electronic terrorism. If you're combining political causes with malicious code, that's terrorism. That's digital terrorism. It's not hacktivism. That's an interesting spin they're putting on that. But that's what Joe Payne, vice president of VeriSign iDefense Security Intelligence Services, says. The company says the attack could have significant damaging effect on internet traffic. The worm designed to send politically motivated spam from tens of millions of email addresses. The next phase of the multi-phase Sober worm has been discovered by iDefense using reverse engineering techniques in the most recent version of the worm. Of course, reverse engineering is supposedly illegal, but whatever. Sober first began to spread about November 15th. The computers were infected with the worm, began spending another versions a week later on November 22nd. The last known versions uses social engineering technique and poses as emails from the FBI, CIA, and other intelligence units. So, you know, I'm not even going to bother insulting your intelligence by saying don't open email from the FBI. But, you know, unless don't open attachments, for God's sakes. Now, in social change news, this is interesting. American Dream in Peril is successfully pursued through state programs. Now, the American Dream and a state program, those are two totally separate things. I can't understand how that even got together in the same title. A landmark study finds that state asset-building policies hold the key to reducing poverty in America. Working hard and being employed may no longer be enough to ward off poverty. What the fuck? According to a study released by Sodexo Foundation and Brandeis University Institute on Assets and Social Policy, the study finds that the U.S. has a large contingency of working poor who do not have sufficient resources to support their families at a minimum economic standard. The future might be more promising, however. The study shows that new state policies are enabling more low-income households to move from poverty to the middle class by rewarding work effort, enhancing job-related earnings, and providing ways to encourage the accumulation of assets such as savings and home ownership. The study, Innovative State Policies to Reduce Poverty and Expand the Middle Class, Building Asset Security Among Low-Income Households, Jesus, there's a title, that's all one title here, examines a new domestic policy framework called asset building. The framework is based on the concept that helping people develop financial assets provides stability and opportunity to move into the middle class. Asset building is not an anti-poverty strategy. It helps families realize the American dream by being rewarded for hard work through social mobility and economic security. This is interesting. Dr. J. Larry Brown, executive director for the Institute of Assets and Social Policy, distinguished scientist at Brandeis University. Social investments encourage the accumulation of assets among the working poor, such as solid earnings, saving accounts, education, and home ownership, to help reduce poverty in our country. That's an interesting theory. I don't think it'll work, but it's a good idea, you know. He goes on, you can check it out there, but clearly the problem within, our country is that we're not paying our people enough money. And we're not paying our people enough money because the minimum wage is too low. Now, why don't we ditch or make it very, like if we increase, like, if you were to, say, take the welfare state, get everybody off welfare who shouldn't be on welfare, and, increase the minimum wage, I think those two would benefit. Just a thought. Now, in ozone news, everyone's talking about the ozone layer, the big hole in the ozone layer, right? Well, NASA researchers, using data from the agency's Aura satellite, determined that the seasonal ozone hole that developed over Antarctica this year is smaller than in previous years. That's a bonus. NASA's 2005 assessment of the size and thickness of the ozone layer was first based on observations from the ozone monitoring instrument on the agency's Aura spacecraft or was launched in 2004. This year's ozone hole measured only 9.4 million square miles. That's it. Jesus. Between September and mid-October, which was slightly larger than last year's peak. But the size of the ozone hole in 1998, the largest ever recorded, was 10.1 million square miles. For 10 of the past 12 years, the Antarctic ozone hole has been larger than 7.7 million square miles. Before 1985, it was measured at less than 4 million square miles. So, yeah, I guess it's getting smaller, but not nearly what it was. The protective ozone layer over Antarctica usually undergoes a seasonal change. But since the first satellite measurements in 1979, the ozone hole has gotten larger. Human-produced chlorine and bromine chemicals can lead to the destruction of the ozone in the atmosphere. By international agreement, these damaging chemicals were banned in 1995. Their levels in the atmosphere are decreasing. Another important factor of how much ozone is destroyed each year is the temperature and how of the air high in the atmosphere. As with the temperature on the ground, some years are colder than others. When the colder in the stratosphere, more ozone is destroyed. When it's colder in the stratosphere, more ozone is destroyed. The 2005 ozone hole was approximately 386,000 square miles larger than a year it would have been with normal temperatures because it was colder than average. Only twice in the last decade has the ozone hole shrunk to a size typically than the late 1980s. Those years, 2004, were the warmest of the period. So does this mean that global warming is shot? I don't know. It's interesting. We'll have to see what happens with that ozone hole. And a related cyberpunk kit news. This is interesting. This is from the article now. We try to keep ignoring the mini disc. I use a mini disc player. I think it fucking rules. We really do. But it just keeps coming back to right back to life when you thought it might be dead. This time around, it's going to be a bit harder with these JVC XMC37s players because the battery life is absolutely insane. With a full charge, this is great. With a full charge, you'll be able to get 305 hours out of the battery. That's 12.7 days of uninterrupted mini disc action. Don't have that much time and still want your tunes? A 20-minute charge nets you 15 hours of battery life. Looks like the only way Minidisc can compete on an MP3-dominated market is to showcase its absolutely nutty battery life. Which, you know what? That's huge. If you're going on a trip or a vacation or something like that, Minidisc, baby. Maybe there will be power there. Charge up a couple batteries, you're fucking good to go. I mean, that's like 24, that's almost like a month if you're listening to it at 8 hours a day. That's rad. That's pretty slick, man. I really like mini discs because you can actually record to them. You can do a lot with them. They're a pretty versatile media, and I think they just look damn cool. You know, I don't know. Maybe I know it's a real cult in Japan, but you can get ones that record. So you could go to like a concert or something like that. You know, scoop your own little private backup of your concert that you went to. Pretty good stuff. And in more Sony crap news, the EFF and Sony BMG today announced the existence of a new security vulnerability that affects Sony BMG CDs, including the Suncom MediaMax version 5 copy protection software. The vulnerability was discovered by the security firm iSec Partners after EFF requested an examination of the Suncom software. For more on the vulnerability, including whether or not you might be affected, see EFF's FAQ on it. Sony BMG and Suncom have released a patch that affected users should install immediately. This is, you know, yet another reason why you might want to download music or buy music from small independent artists. This security vulnerability is distinct from the effects different CDs. This security vulnerability is distinct from and affects different CDs from the ones reported in early November that are in connection with the first Freenet XCP software. This is rootkit stuff. Sony BMG has disclosed a full list of the 27 CDs that include Suncom's MediaMax version 5. So, you know, just don't buy Sony CDs. Seems pretty straightforward to me. And in Freedom Fighter news, this is an interesting story here. John Gilmore. Although John Gilmore lives just 5 blocks away from San Francisco's Department of Motor Vehicles, his driver's license is expired on purpose. The outspoken techno-hippie, wealthy civilian libertarian who doesn't want to give a social security number to the Department of Motor Vehicles. Neither will he show his driver's license at airports or submit to routine security searches. This refusal to obey the rules led him to file suit against the Bush administration Gilmore versus Gonzalez, after being rebuffed at two different airports on July 4, 2002, when he tried to fly without showing ID. One airline offered to let Gilmore fly without showing ID, but only if he went more intensive security screening, of which he declined. On Thursday, Gilmore and his lawyers will get 20 minutes in front of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to make their argument against identification requirements and government secrecy in a case that time and shifting public opinion has transformed from a quirky millionaire's indignant protest to a closely watched test of the limitations of executive branch power. The nexus of the case has always been the right to travel, Gilmore said. Can the government prevent Americans from moving around their own country by slapping any silly rules on them? You have to show ID, you have to submit to searches, you have to wear a yarmulke. A yarmulke? Whatever. I don't know how you pronounce that. Gilmore has sunk thousands of dollars into fighting identification requirements, but he is also personally committed to not traveling in the United States if he has to show identification. So Gilmore has not taken a train, an intercity bus, or a domestic flight since July 4th, 2002. He still flies internationally. Wow. Gilmore describes himself as being under regional arrest, said he would love to drive and fly again. I'm a millionaire, Gilmore said. I can do whatever the fuck I want, right? Why should I run around without ID? Because no one else was paying attention to that and letting our liberties slip down the drain. I figured it was worth some amount of money and some amount of personal sacrifice to keep a free society. Wow. Way to go, Gilmore. You know, whether or not you agree with the guy, I mean, at least he's standing up for what he believes in. You know, you got to give him that. Now, here's a scary story coming out of Iraq. I've talked about BZ Compound before. BZ, first I ever heard of it was in that film Jacob's Ladder. Anybody ever wants to see it's a pretty goddamn good movie. Go check out the film Jacob's Ladder. Now, granted, that's a Hollywoodized version of it, but I got this off of Defense Review. In BZ News, this is the first proof I've ever had that this shit actually even exists. And the picture on the page is kind of bizarre because there's like a picture of a Tweety Bird on the back of this protesting Muslims. I don't really understand how this works out. But anyway, this has to be the most bizarre twist in a WMD saga yet. Insurgents in Iraq could very well be using chemical weapons, and they're using them on themselves. That's because of the type of weapons they are. The story starts over a year ago with a Marine blogger in Iraq on July 2nd, 2004. The Green Side, we'll get back to the significance of this source later, describes suicidal attacks by insurgents in Fallujah. We could not understand why they kept coming, but they did. The reason, it turned out, was drugs. These quote-unquote holy warriors were taking drugs to get high before the attacks. Well, I mean, you'd have to be pretty fucking stoned to charge the Marines. In true, as we pushed towards the town in April, many Marines came across drug paraphernalia, mostly heroin. Recently, we've gotten evidence of them using another drug, BZ, that makes them high and very aggressive. And that's an understatement. BZ is not your typical substance of abuse. It's a hallucinogenic chemical weapon. It's a weaponized hallucinogen, okay? This weird concept originated in the 50s, when better living through chemistry was a slogan to live, and warfare without blood was the goal. The Washington Star noted in 1965. New chemical weapons that win by creating confusion rather than death and destruction have proved so successful that they have been quietly added to the Army's arsenal. The latest and best, a gas called BZ by the Army, put a number of soldier guinea pigs out of action during field tests at a Utah Army base last November, and it did without harming a man. BZ, or Agent Buzz, as the military name for 3-quinslindenylbenzoate, an extremely powerful hallucinogen, after experimenting with a whole stash of mind-altering substances, including cocaine, heroin, LSD, the Pentagon selected BZ for weaponizing. Its major advantages is that it can easily deliver in an aerosol cloud, so it's a gas. It's very safe. With many substances, the effective dosage can be dangerously close to the amount needed to kill, as with any anesthetist, which is an anesthesia kind of thing. With BZ, the tiny effective dose, maybe 2 milligram, is around 1,000th level of the lethal dose. It is also odorless, invisible, and there are currently no means of detecting it. No means of detecting this stuff. Agent Buzz was tested between 1959 and 1975 on some 2,800 U.S. soldiers at several locations. It proved extremely effective as an incapacitant. Now, this is different from what I've heard about this stuff. The physical effects are it increases heart rates, pupil dilation, blurred vision, dry skin mouth, increased temperature, flushed skin. The med school mnemonic has a blind as a bat, dry as a bone, hot as Hades, red as a beet. But the psychological effects are more important than the physical ones, as the subject is also rendered mad as a hatter. It also produces uncontrollable aggression. This is dangerous. Wouter Benson, the man behind South African's chemical and biological warfare program, notes, his version of BSAID, in fact, was modified with CB, carboxymethoxybenzopan, specifically to reduce this effect. The Serbian Army manual on their BZ munitions implies a violent reaction. It can be expected that such individuals or groups will subsequently, under the effects of this chemical agent, inflict great damage and losses on their own forces. You go insane and attack everything around you. Over 100,000 pounds of BZ were produced by the U.S. However, it fell out of favor because the effects were considered to be too unpredictable. Destruction of BZ stockpile commenced in 1988 and was reportedly complete in Pine Bluff in 1990. Could any be in Iraq? In 1995, the British reported that Iraq had produced Agent 15, similar or identical to BZ, and possessed large stockpiles of it. So they took it, feed it to their own troops, and sick them on American soldiers. A later CIA report discounts this and concludes that Iraq never went beyond research with Agent 15, a hallucinogenic chemical similar to BZ, or any other psychochemical. The British do not agree, and on its last update in 2004, the MOD maintains its claim. It would appear to be most likely the source of any insurgent supplies. I didn't initially take this report from the green side too seriously. Posted in the form of letters from Marine to his dad, it looks like he's just keeping in touch with his folks at home and recording a piece of personal history, not an intel report. But the blog turns out to be the work of Lieutenant Colonel Dave Bellin, not just another Marine, but an intelligence officer of the 1st Regimental Combat Team. The blog can no longer be easily accessed as it has disappeared behind the USMC security screen. Given Lieutenant Colonel Bellin's access to inside information, his rather specific claim about BZ becomes more serious. Other U.S. sources do not mention BZ by name, but do describe drugs used by the insurgents. The account of November 2004's fall of Fallujah by Bing West, the Marine Corps Gazette, mentions crazies rushing out in suicidal attacks as well as others sustained by drugs. Very disturbing stuff to see that they're using this kind of warfare on their own troops. This is, in fact, the face of the enemy. So think of that the next time you start talking shit about what's going on. Yeah, we need to get our troops out of Iraq, without a doubt. But let them do their job. War is horrible. This is the enemy. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive. This has been a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 62 people, 2 new donators, 10 one-time donators, and 50 continuing donators. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. And thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the Punisher soundtrack, which is pretty good. And I'm going to leave you now with a track number 3 by Dean Gray, Boulevard of Broken Songs. So until tomorrow, that is what Server said. End of line.
The American life, the American life, the American life. Fuck it. I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Yeah.
alright. Check my vital signs and know I'm still alive and I walk alone.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna pull it back to you.
This empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you.
I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams.
By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do.
When the city sleeps and I'm the only one to walk out.